Hey there, and welcome to the Confident Woman Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Brooks. Join me as I sit down and chat with co-hosts, friends, and carefully curated guests and talk about all the things that empower you to become your best and most confident self. So let's get started. Hey ladies, welcome back. Today we have with us Carla Reeves, known for her compassionate, direct, and truth-telling candor. For the past 15 plus years, she has been a confidant and coach to hundreds navigating the transitions and challenges of everyday life. She is the host of the Differently podcast and creator of the Differently Coaching Experience and Reimagine, the interactive journal. She is on a mission to help people break free of the past so that they can write new stories. So, of course, we are going to have a lot to discuss. So welcome, Carla. This is going to be an incredible conversation, and I am so excited for it. So before we dive in, I'd love for you to share with our listeners a little bit more about you and what led you into the works that you do today.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to have this conversation with you too and your listeners, and I love the podcast and the work you're doing. So what led me into this work? It's been a couple decades ago. I was a new mom and had dreamed of being a mom, but was in a spot where I was losing my own sanity and realizing that I didn't want to do what I saw around me, which was other moms who were not so happy, quite miserable, and that would all ripple to their parenting and their marriages and all of that. And I felt myself slipping into the same thing. And I knew I didn't want that, but I had no clue what to do. I felt God tell me to start writing at that time. And I listened and I started just journaling in the nooks and crannies of my life when I could, when my son was sleeping or, you know, just any moment I could get, I just started writing. And over a period of a number of months, actually, my mission in doing that was to figure out how to be a happy mom. Because I thought if I could, that would be one of the greatest gifts I could give my kids. And months later, I sat on the edge of my bed, flipping through the pages of my journal, realizing what actually happened on the pages. Not only had I figured out how to be more sane, take better care of myself, it had opened up my spirituality and my conversations with God and my creativity and my own self-acceptance and like so much. And in that moment, I realized, oh my gosh, I'm here to teach the tool of writing as a way to navigate your life. And so that led into the writing piece and the sanity journals, which was my first business, which ultimately led to coaching with a journal to really help people change their life. So that's the very short version.
I love that because so many of us, as you shared, I mean, you don't want to do or be like the others because you see yourself in those lives and you're like, I don't know, something feels different. Something doesn't align. Is this really what I'm called for? And as we start to question ourselves, that's really where we start seeking more of what we're finding versus settling and following the crowd and wondering, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years on the road, is this really all life has to offer?
Yes, yes, yes. And I had dreamed of being a mom from the time I was a little girl. So like something, I knew in my heart there was another way.
And it followed your path of just surrendering and just saying, okay, if I don't want to follow the crowd, what else is there? And I think that was really the transition in your path is now you're looking at a crossroads. I could go left, I can go right, but which one is best for me? So when you started diving into your writing, which I love because as a writer, I know exactly what you're talking about. You start to find pockets and places and these deep thoughts and reflection perspectives. And you're like, does anyone even care? Like, why would I share this stuff? Right. And that I can relate to because as I started doing that on my own journey, it wasn't about the individuals that we were called to lead, but we had to first start with ourselves. And I think that that's what I'm hearing in your journey is that you just surrendered and said, if there's one person I have to write for, it's going to be for me because I need it.
Yes, although it didn't actually start that way. Like when I first started writing, I remember like I wanted it to sound different. I wanted it to sound like my friend who writes beautifully. And there was so much judgment about just the way that I wrote, what I wrote. And it was a process of just continuing to write and kind of feel that friction and resistance to myself and staying in the game of it. Because there was a day that I remember, it felt like this girl skipped across the page of my journal. She was different. I'm like, I want to know her. And that led me to a whole different place in writing, which I feel like I started to touch on like my true self, my true design. And when you reach that, there's nothing not to like or nothing to judge, right? It's just your innate design.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yes. I was at the same crossroads. Several years back, I was following somebody online, and I just loved how she was just, when she would write, it spoke to my soul. And it was in a way that wasn't, maybe it was just the people I was following on social media at the time. Her style was different, and it landed different, and it made me think different. And it wasn't about her trying to position herself as this expert or authority or influence or any of that stuff. She just wrote from her heart. And I felt that that was what was missing online. And so I remember I reached out to her and said, you know, I really want to start writing, but I didn't have the confidence or the courage to do that. And she shared with me a book by Stephen Pressfield, The War of Art. It was something that what you had just said resonated with me, was say it wasn't about the judgment and it wasn't about getting it perfect or saying the right thing, but it was getting it out of you, just getting off your chest, sharing from the heart. And then worrying about the editing and the grammar and any of that stuff. I think even for me, when I was a first-time writer, I was so caught up on the English language and the grammar you learned in school, the punctuation, this and that. But you start to find your groove, your own unique writing style. And I think that that's what, when you find your voice through writing, it's so freeing. So I'd love for you to kind of unpack that and tell me some of the things that came up. And I know that you did mention inspiration, creativity, and that sense of self-acceptance.
I feel like even though that happened all those years ago, writing is still, like, I'm still trying to birth myself, you know? Like, some days it comes out more, just kind of falls right out, and other days it feels elusive. But at that time, it was, I think, a mirror of what was happening in my life, because I had lived my life up until that point of wanting the outside to look good, wanting to make everybody happy, checking all the boxes that I thought led to success. It was a process of pulling all that apart to find what was real. At that time in my life, it was finding what was real for my own rhythm as a mom, because on the outside, I felt external pressures of what you're supposed to do and how this is supposed to look. And it was such a process of seeing all of that happening on the outside, but trying to find my own rhythms and trust those.
I can relate to the recovering perfectionist, but to be honest, are we ever fully surrendered to it? Because we find ourselves in it. But I think if anything, that recovering aspect of it, it's just a sense of a self-awareness, because I had no idea that I was even in this perfectionist chasing place. It was the surrendering to it and just trusting what is that opened it up to creating more freedom, and that approach to take a deep dive in and not really care about what was. And so even for my writing, it was just when I was writing my book, Chasing Perfection, it's like, how do you write it from a place without being judged or any of those thoughts that you are sharing? Because you're going to be judging that from the first place. So how much I can really resonate with that. It's like we get caught up on that perfectionism without realizing that the journey that we're sharing and the works that we're talking about have such profound impact and meaning. And it's up to us as the individuals to really, I guess, own that before we can release it. It was something I definitely learned early on.
I think that's beautiful. I think for me too, it's helped to surrender it to, like, God has, like, if I look back my business today and my work, my life's work today and back 20 years, like, the threads are all the same. Like, you know, and so it's been a process of, like, trusting that what has been placed on my heart is there for a reason. And it's my job to share it. Takes a little bit of the pressure off, right? That it's,
yeah, very much so. I think it was never really ours to begin with. We're just carrying stuff. We're carrying stuff. And when we surrender, we give it to God and say, you deal with it. You help me get through this. And that was one of the things for me, surrendering. What does surrendering mean? Did that mean giving up control entirely? Did it mean to surrender my wants, needs, and desires? Does it mean to surrender who I am today? And so a lot of that tied into, for me, tapping further and deeper into my faith. And that's when I realized what true surrender was. How about you? I know that you mentioned how God has really pulled you into this direction. So when we talk about surrender, what does that look like?
Yeah, I mean, I think most recently it's been like, oh, I'm a caretaker of this. I'm a vessel for this. It's not mine. And I think that's been the newest evolution of it, is like, I literally felt God on my heart say, like, this isn't yours. You're the caretaker. To me, brings also in a level of responsibility to carry that forward in the world and let that light be seen. Because if I'm left to my own devices, just about weekly, I'm ready to shut the doors and shrink and diminish myself and just call it quits. I want to run out the back door a lot. And I've been doing this business for like 2 decades. My responsibility, my faith, my responsibility to the calling I feel in my heart is what has me show up and be courageous again and again. And I know that I'm not alone in doing it.
You're definitely not alone. I just had this conversation like literally before we hit record. She asked me, how do you seem to have it all together? I said, I don't. And just like you, there's many days I don't want to show up. I don't want to show up even for myself. I don't want to show up for the things that I have to do. I don't want to show up for others. And there's days that you just want, like you said, shrink back and play small. And I think that a lot of that comes from our own pursuit of perfection, to achieve, to perform, to produce in some capacity, that we don't have the strength to continue doing this every single day. And so that kind of brings me into a point that I probably learned it early on, but I never really took that into practice until lately. And that is the power of rest. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about always having to be on and perform and do all these things, it can feel exhausting. We don't have the capacity. We don't have the bandwidth. We can't be on 24/7. And when we tap into our faith, and that's what God calls us to, is to lean into Him. Come to me that are heavy laden burdens, and lay all this stuff down. I mean, so many verses are coming to mind right now where God instructs us not to carry this. It's not ours to carry, and not ours to carry alone. And so how many of us high achievers and go-getters out there are trying to do this all and sustain it all, and we're wondering why we're burned out, why we've become resentful of the businesses, or just don't even have the energy to even get through the days most days. And that's where that power of rest is really, really is your superpower. Because when you become rested, you become renewed. When you're renewed, you're refreshed. When you're refreshed, you're restored, and all the things. And so last year was a huge lesson and eye-opener year for me, because that's when I had to surrender everything. And when I mean everything, everything. That's when you bring everything. I don't even know one thing that I carried into 23 and even into 24 and going into 25 and here on out, that I hadn't already surrendered at that point. And it was a beautiful gift when God gave me that opportunity to rest and surrender. And what He did was restore and renew me from the inside out. And it was a beautiful gift that I was able, as somebody holds on so tightly, just let go. Let it go.
So beautiful. I have that scripture on my whiteboard right here. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew 11:29.
Yeah.
I have to remind myself that all the time, because the moment I feel like a lot of pressure or a lot of overwhelm is my indicator that I've taken way too much on myself. And it's like, okay, let's reset. I too had to break that productivity cycle inside of myself a few years ago. Mostly the mind, mostly yes. Breaking the habits of the mind.
Exactly. And that's exactly what it is. It's habits, because we've been conditioned. And I think that in our world, we're so conditioned to chase, to go, to be, to strive, to do. And it's like, when is there ever an inaction verb that's tied to any of the things that we do? I mean, God himself, like, created the world in 6 days and said, you know what? I need a day off. Do we ever give ourselves that intentional time to fully reset and just unplug? And that's when I realized the true power of rest. Because it isn't just about, well, don't open your computer for the day. We're on our phones. We're always thinking about it. Maybe we have a notebook, a journal, something with us that we're constantly thinking. But that's not necessarily a place, because how can we receive if we're constantly creating in our mind? And that's a big lesson I had to learn this year.
That's been a huge part of all of my work, is really teaching people to get quiet and go inside, because there's just so much noise, and you can't even hear your own thoughts, let alone connect with the mind of God. And that has been the greatest gift in my whole life.
Mm-hmm. And so when you surrender to God and you're in this season, or even currently, if you're in this season, because how many times do we show up and we think we learned the lesson only to find out we're repeating it over and over again? Is to be honest, we never arrive. We've never made it. It's a work in progress. And I'm laughing at this because I look back and I'm like, literally like the child who just keeps making the same mistakes.
I know. I'm like, I'm so sorry, God. I'm such a slow learner.
Like, are you tired of me yet? Like, when are you just going to do this for me? And he's like, no, until you learn. And I was like, dang. Yeah. How about your experience here?
I feel like I'm relearning all the things. I was actually just talking with a team member this morning, and she was talking about, like, I'm just journaling about the same things over and over. And I'm like, it's okay. I look back at my journals and I was still navigating the lack of confidence issues and all the things that, like, I've been navigating for lots and lots of years. I think there are certain things that we are just here to work through, and we're going to be working through them probably the rest of our life on different levels, you know, for sure. You know, the other scripture that comes to mind is, that's been a favorite over the last year, is, for I have not given you a spirit of fear and timidity, but a power, love, and sound mind. And I have to remind myself that all the time. I teach a lot around thought management, which is sort of an umbrella way to say really cultivating your inner life, your inner thought life, being renewed, having your thoughts renewed, just like you were saying, because when your thoughts are renewed, your life is renewed, your experience is renewed, everything is renewed. And so for me, that's daily work.
Mm-hmm. It's the work every single day that we show up. And I love that you mentioned thought management, because it's so true. Talk about perfect timing with God. Like I said, the question I had just before this, when she had asked, how do you do it all? And she said, and I tell her, you know, I don't and I can't. And she said, what is the hardest part of your business and the roles that you do? And I think that was the first time that question was positioned in that way. And I said, to be honest with you, I think the hardest part of running my business is running myself.
Getting out of my own way.
Exactly. Because every day we're battling our own thoughts, our own insecurities, our own ideas. It's just the creativity, the inspiration. Sometimes there's just this flood. And the best way I could put this in an analogy would be to almost feel like you're stepping on the brake and the gas at the same time, because we have to throttle. Because we're so easy to, like, go all in, but then we get burned out, or we don't do anything, and that becomes the complacency. And if we're not growing, there's a stagnation and this resentment, like, because we're not moving. Why are we putting forth effort if we're not actually making traction or progress? Mm-hmm. And it's just something that really came to mind. I think sometimes the best conversations are when they're in the moment and off the cuff, pretty much like this episode. And when we were talking about some ideas and things before we hit record, this just felt so in alignment, because both Carla and I are in the season where we've recognized that we have to step back, and we realize that we can't do everything and we can't do it all alone. And so when we realize that for us both in our lives, two separate lives, two separate businesses, two separate individuals, the one thing that we had in common was the full surrendering, asking God to step into our business and transform and renew our spirit, our mind, but more importantly, our business, to create a business that aligns with his calling and for the kingdom. And that was something big in my life and in my business, because when I've always had God as a part of what I do, but this was a year that I went all in and said, you know what? I'm not talking about me anymore. I'll share stories about me, but it always brings it back to what God has done in my life. Mm-hmm. And that was so pivotal, because I wouldn't say I was afraid of the judgment or the feedback that I would receive. It was about wondering if I was able to meet God where he's at, because I didn't want to let him down. And that mm-hmm. was a hard thing for me to accept and swallow. I know that it's like, you can never let God down, but as a child, we want to please our parents. We want to make sure that we're abiding. And I don't want to keep sitting in time out because of my messy hands and impatience to kind of get back into what I think that I should be doing. And what Carla was talking about before about the rest, because the rest is so intentional. And as go-getters, it's hard to sit in a pause. It's hard to sit in time out because we need to be doing something. But what if that doing is an active rest? And that's where I think that I'm in this season of my life.
I think I'm grappling with what you talked about, like how to blend more of my faith in my business. I've been in that processing for the last year has been a reset in my business too, and a surrendering to God, and also trying to figure out, like, wait a minute, the thing that is the hugest part of my life, that brings the most joy, that helps me the most every day, is my faith, and I'm not sharing it. You know, I mean, I am sharing it, but I'm not sharing it in the way that I could. And like, why?
That is a great question. Why? I think for me, when I asked myself early on, I said, well, why aren't I sharing more of it? And I think because I didn't see enough role models out there in the online space to see how to navigate this, because it's sometimes you have to teeter at that fine line. When you talk about perfectionism, we live in absolutes and extremes. And I didn't want to go to the other side of the extreme. So that's where I've always been intentional about finding that gray area. How can I marry this so it feels that it's a part of me? How can I bring my faith in God into the works that I do? Yes, without him, there's no me. But also without me, I'm the voice. I'm the spokesperson here on this place to share what was going on, to share the works, to share the glory that has been working in and through me. And so when I looked at that perspective, I just said, you know what? I only have to live for him. So the people will come and go. The judgment will always be there. Am I going to feel content and at peace with my actions, with my decisions, with the things that I create, the things that I put out there? And that's the one person that I have to please, because mm-hmm. that's the person I live with every single day. So as long as I know that I have that quiet time and intentionally creating with God, then everything else will flow through me. And that's where it feels natural in alignment. That doesn't feel like I have to swing the pendulum and to, you know, the far left or to the far right. But what does that freedom and flexibility to still pursue your faith with confidence and courage, but also keep Rachel in her business as well? And that's what I think I'm hearing from you as well.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this is still much in the works, but it has been like a freedom. I think freedom is a huge piece of just being able to stay in the presence of God and trust that the things that come up on my heart, like, don't be afraid to share them if it ties into today's podcast or however that naturally comes out. Or, you know, like even on my team meetings, like I've said, do you guys mind if we pray today to start our meeting with prayer? Like I've just been doing things like that, that are like naturally feel inspired in the moment versus trying to like plan it all out and strategize it, which is what my brain always wants to do. And that doesn't feel authentic either. So it's definitely just a work in progress. Oh, I think the why I haven't up until recently was I was afraid it would scare people away. And I've always felt in my work that God has me like tilling the hearts of people who don't exactly know him. And it's like clearing, he's had me clearing away all the noise so that they can get quiet, so that they can hear God, you know? And then those conversations start to evolve from there. So I think I was always afraid of like scaring away people too early, but I realized I don't have to worry about that. It's not my job.
And I think I can echo that as well. There was that scare factor because it's like, I want to do God good, right? Like I want, for those who don't know him, what if this one chance, what if it's the one opportunity? What if it's that one moment that I can introduce him to somebody? And what if they're like,
and what if I scare him away?
Right. And what if they're just like, oh my God, I don't want to be a part of this big God guy, you know, like to your point. So it was about teetering that with careful, delicate. I think that's where I had to turn back to God and say, how exactly do you want me to do this? And that's where he'll give you the answers. Mm-hmm. And when I realize now is that if people aren't, you're not going to please everybody. And those that are for you will stick around. Those that are curious will stick around. Those who are not and aren't, it's okay to let them go, because we're not shooting for the numbers. We're not trying to win the approval of man. I'm here to win the hearts for God. And if that's in your alignment, that's awesome. And if you don't know that there's a God, I invite you into these conversations. And again, you know, it's always deeply personal. Faith is always deeply personal. But I want to bring in the journey and the lessons that I'm learning on this path that I'm on. So I'm not saying my way is the right way. It is for me, but it might not be for you. I'm just inviting you into conversations and ideas.
But
and
if we're not sharing that, then people can't take a look and see for themselves.
It's kind of like we're window shopping. You don't know what's inside the store until you pass by and you're like, oh, I like what they have to offer, or I like that color, or I like that experience, or I like what she shared. And now it invites them into the store.
Exactly.
So when you're kind of on this path and you're learning as well, what are some of the hesitations and the fear factor around there? But what have you been finding is you're gravitating in your writing that feels so aligned with your soul that you're sharing?
In my writing, the writing is so tied to the work that we do, because my clients, we use an interactive journal online. So they're writing, so it's kind of a two-way writing, right? So they're expressing their soul and going through their journey in their writing. And I'm on the other side of their journal and we're having a dialogue and a conversation. A lot of my writing is two-directional that way. Some of my writing is me just writing to share in my newsletter or write a podcast. I feel again today that God is calling me to write more like he was 20 years ago. And I'm excited to see what unfolds from that, because, oh my gosh, that call to write as a new mom changed my life. It changed the complete direction of everything, because it was a process of going inside instead of outside to find clarity and wisdom and direction in my life. And so I'm continuing to use my writing to do that on a daily basis. I'm not necessarily writing a book. I do have a book in me to write, but my writing on the everyday is more a conversation with God, a showing up, a surrendering of what do you have for me today? What should I focus on today? Getting past my mind that thinks I need to do 100 things and instead do just 3 things. This last year, when we got on the call, we were talking about, I've been in this reset and I knew my business model needed to change. Over the last year, I've made probably 50 different maps of how I want this to look. God was just like, stop trying to figure it all out. I just want you to show up 10 minutes a day and I'll reveal the next step. And the last year has literally been that. Like, I come up to my office and I spend 15 minutes, or I start writing on something and he shows me the next piece. And then I have to just faithfully steward this. And I can't tell you how many times I look at the measurements of like the revenue coming in my business. I have the lowest revenue year. I have the lowest client load year by design, But it still freaks out my high achieving brain that wants to tell me, or the devil that wants to tell me, you don't even have a business. Like, what are you doing? This doesn't even matter. Like, you don't even have something here. So fighting off all of that this last year, my writing has been the vehicle to like help me stay the course, help me stay true to listening to God and following these next steps, because I've realized that even if my business were to fail from here, the most important thing is that I stay in step with him. And the things that he's unfolding have been like building a small team. Like, I never had a team, so now I have a small team. And like, part of my important work this year has been pouring into that. So it's looked entirely different. I have to just trust that, like, focus on one interaction at a time, like Jesus did, instead of trying to plan for the masses or, right, like all the stuff we're pulled into in the outer world. Like, you got to reach more people and do more and be better and get louder. And my writing helps me do that.
Yes. Everything that you just said, I'm over here nodding my head because how much of that all resonates with me. And it sometimes you have to take that step back before you can make this giant step forward, which I know with God and a supernatural speed and timing and all these things, it's not about you having the next step. It's about trusting that he has the next step planned and prepared for you. That is literally true surrender, because it's like, is this even a business? Because if you're watching your clients dwindle and the revenue shrink, and yet here you are every day showing up, plugging away, and you're like, why? What is the point of this? It's meaningless because it's not making a difference. It's not making an impact. That resonated with me so much, because last year when I actually, at the end of 2022, I burned everything down. I had a restart on everything, but I didn't know what that was. And that's where God just said, just take your hand off of everything. Just, I'll take care of everything. I said, okay, I don't know what any of that stuff means, but I don't have an ounce of energy in me right now to even try to hang on. I'm so tired. And so, you know, pulling in that scripture of Matthew, come to me that are heavy laden and carry heavy burdens. I was just like, I'm exhausted, I'm tired, and I'm carrying everything because I'm trying to do it all and be it all. But at the same time, I'm saying, for you, God, this is why I'm doing it, right? Because we think that we're doing what we're called to do. We think that we're walking in alignment. We think that we're walking in obedience. But how much of us did we pour into what we do? And now it becomes about us, and we're thinking, well, we're really doing it for God. If it was for God, it wouldn't feel like this, and it wouldn't feel taxing. And then you wouldn't be calling out to him in your prayers and saying, God, why is it so hard? Because God's saying, because you're trying to carry stuff I told you to set down. You're trying to do the things I told you not to do. And that's where that little child comes in and say, okay, Heavenly Father, I messed up again. And that's where I feel like for me, it was just a matter of taking my hands off of everything, stop trying to make it all messy and perfect, but just trust that whatever is next will happen. And again, this is for those that are listening, if you are a believer or not, trusting that there's a higher power than yours that will always supersede. Because when you can't, there is a can will. And that's the difference. That's that belief, that inherent belief that you know that something is greater beyond you. So that was the earlier last year when I just took my hands off and said, this business that I built isn't even what I thought I wanted at the beginning. Like, it turned into this muddy mess by my own accord, bringing in the wrong people who didn't see the vision, myself getting distracted in that noisy world, following the pursuit of others, following that guru and this expert and that coach and that. And next thing I know, I'm on somebody else's path, building somebody else's version of what God had called on my heart. And that's when I said, this isn't the confident woman. In fact, this isn't even Rachel Brooks. So what do I got to do? And that's when I just burned it all down.
Wow.
Over, started completely over. And that was when I had to get crystal clear again, who is Rachel in this season that God is calling me towards? Because I was trying to hold on to that, trying to build this vision and business from a version of Rachel that God redeemed and restored me 10 years ago. I'm not the same person. And that's what taking that big time out and reset will bring you back in alignment and focus on to what he has called you here to do, who he has called you as his identity, and that you are created with, on, and for a purpose. And sometimes you just got to check in. The big takeaway from last year was, this isn't about you. And for you to fulfill that God-sized vision, you need a God to fulfill that within you. And so that's where it brought me this past year. And I tell you what I've been building and rebuilding has definitely had its challenges as a solopreneur. I had to strip down everything. My team became a one-man show, and that's me. And even though it feels like a lot, things are so much simpler. They're more clear. I'm focused. I'm intentional. And everything feels in alignment because it's me doing life with God.
It's the most important thing. It's like if we can just get that one thing, like just staying in the presence of God on a daily basis, and you'll know exactly what I need to do. And it's true. And I think something you said, but you were talking about like the rebuilding, and what I learned, or what I'm learning and have learned this last year of like surrendering and trusting and just showing up for the next step is like, if I hadn't gotten quiet, if I hadn't had that lighter client load, I would not have been able to hear God so well over the last year. And his faithfulness of what I felt on my heart that day of like, I will show you the next step. Every single time he reveals the next step, and what he's shown me over the last year, I mean, just one of the things is how this body of work that I've been teaching all these years is biblically based. And he's been like tying the knots together, like showing me how it's all linked in scripture. And it's just been such a beautiful, intimate journey of really experiencing his faithfulness and his constancy in a way that I never have. In such a changing, crazy world we live in, like that is the greatest comfort, right? Like we have a God who is unchanging and is so constant and so faithful.
It's the one constant variable in our ever-changing lives that when we focus on him and this world that just feels so fast-paced and noisy, and it's just without going into it too deep, it's one that I had to pull myself back on, because I know that I will get lost in that noise if I keep looking outward instead of turning inward. And so taking those intentional periods of rest, but also realizing the power that comes through rest, makes me crave more of it even more. Because it's like, once you get it, you're like, man, this slowing down thing, this rest, it's not just about checking that box or saying I unplugged from Instagram this weekend or whatever it is. It's literally sitting in the stillness and in the silence and letting the Spirit lead and guide you. And that's something that had I not been, I think, forced to, but also I had to.
Yes. Well, and I think rest, you know, I think people think like you're saying, like we have to like totally stop. And for some of us, there is a period of that where maybe you have to go through. But I also feel like rest, like this restful mindset can be like a posture. Like I had to learn, I used to literally sit on the edge of my seat, my stomach clenched, my shoulders tight at my desk. And I feel like I'm able to just operate in a more restful posture. And I know that when I take time away to rest, to be, to like spend time in my marriage, that it all restores me. And I'm way more effective, way more productive. And you tap into the mind of God, and the ideas and the inspiration are just like unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Why don't we, while we're wrapping up today's conversation, I would love for you to share some of the things that, by your surrendering, by tapping in and doing life with God, what are all the gains that came out of it? You mentioned your marriage is improving. Your business has become more clear. So what are some of the other perks and benefits of like, wow, I wish I had done this earlier, because look at all the areas that God is transforming and has transformed that I can now see and witness in my life.
Yeah, I mean, it's all over. It's just your level of well-being on a daily basis, like the stress and the overwhelm. Like I carry that less because I can catch it sooner and realize that that's me taking on the burden and carrying too much and thinking I'm all this and can do all that, when it really it's none of that. But I think it's also like being able to be present, right? Which we hear all the time. It's so cliche, but it's like I feel awake enough that I can stop. Like when my son happens to come home, our oldest or youngest son still lives with us, and like he works nights, and so we don't get to see him all that often. But when he walks in and like plops down in my chair in my office, like if I can, I want to stop everything. It's like being able to recognize the most important things in my life and being able to stop to make time for those. I think the area that has impacted the most, other than just my soul, is my marriage. We have intentionally designed time for our marriage and growing our marriage and healing ourselves so that we can experience deeper intimacy with each other and with God. Now I can see that when we are experiencing the fullness of our marriage, and when I can let go of my to-do list, my need to be productive, my need to be busy all the time, and instead spend that time in our marriage, the fruit of that ripples all over our life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been hard.
Yeah. I mean, marriage is hard work as it is. I was just talking to my mother the other day. I said, you know, I don't know how you and Dad have done it for 54 years at this point. I said, it's the hardest thing I've ever had to do. Because when you bring in another person into your life, you have conflicting ideas and thoughts and, you know, you choose the person, but every day, you know, it's not like you're waking up to a version of you. And sometimes if you had a version of you, you'd still probably, you know, want to shake some sense into your version. But to your point, marriage is hard. But when you have that common thread and the one thing in it, you know, putting Christ center, that was where my husband and I just realized it wasn't about us fighting against each other in certain things. It was about finding the common area, and that's where Christ. And so when you have that Christ-centered marriage, it's not about you anymore. And that, I think, was the biggest lesson for me. So yeah, my marriage has definitely strengthened. My husband and I are deep into our faith. Had we not taken that pause and time out, you know, I think sometimes it takes one to be the leader and make that call or just surrender so that there's some room for things to grow and breathe. That was a pivotal moment in our life as well. And for me, I watched my relationships change too. I'm careful about who I allow into my space. Some form of protection is also the scripture, guard your heart above all things, for it will determine the course of your life. Guarding your heart and protecting that. Had I not had that truth in my heart, I've lived that life without the truth in my heart, and I knew how it burned me and gotten in bad relationships and toxic ones. And, you know, especially as women, as we go through life, finding adult friends could be challenging. And so sometimes we're so quick to just accept because we know this need and longing in our hearts, but we might be picking and choosing the wrong people to date or marry or partner with or bring into our business or, you know, being coached by or our friends, our peers. Is a lot of discernment that has come up for me. And that was a big awakening these past couple of years where, like I said, when I surrendered everything, it meant everything. I cleaned house in every area of my life. And it took some time of just being that recluse and alone, but I was never truly alone. And that allowed me to reconnect with myself. And that's a relationship that I got to live with every single day.
100%. So true.
Yeah. Yeah, any chance that we can ever just bring in the Lord and share some testimonies and experiences and just the witnessing the works and how it transpires into what we do on a daily basis, that is fulfillment for me. So, Carla, as we wrap up today's conversation, is there anything that you would love to leave our listeners with or things that we haven't talked about? Because I know with your story, it's just you really wanted to talk about what's going on in the season that you're in, and so much power and transformation is going into not only you, but the works you do with your clients.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's just bringing it full circle back to, you know, if you're listening to this conversation and you feel stirred around something that we've talked about, get a notebook out, get a pen and paper. It can be such an incredible tool if you just feel like you need to dig deeper on something or get a sense of what's the landscape of what's going on in your life today. Taking 5 or 10 minutes a day for the next 5 days and just emptying your mind will give you such a good idea of what the landscape of your thinking and your experience is right now. That is data that you can look at and really get a sense of, like, where in your life is God calling you to pay some attention to? You know, where does there need to be some more rest? You know, all the things that we've talked about, just taking some time to empty your mind will give you an inventory of, like, where you can pay some attention in this season in your life that will pay rewards and create fruit in your life. Because it's different for all of us, right? And also remember that it's a season. Like, sometimes I can get caught up in, like, oh my gosh, it's winter and, like, nothing's blooming and feel so sad and go into a spiral. But remember, they're all just seasons and they're ever changing. But how can you help yourself through this season and connect more deeply with your creator so that you don't have to do it all yourself? Because that's what we've been talking about all day, right? We don't have to do it all alone.
Yes. Oh my goodness. And doing it alone is just exhausting. It's not sustainable. And there's really no fulfillment in that, because it's not about you. It never has been. And that unique
thank
gift,
God.
Never.
And it takes the pressure off you, right? To produce.
Yes. Oh my gosh. It's like a breath of fresh air when you say, wow, really? It doesn't matter, because you're not here to win the approval of others. You're here to please the God that gave you the gifts and the ability. And the number one gift that you woke up today, that's such a beautiful blessing. And so I think for me, that was that it's like everything that I can do and create was never mine in the first place. So, oh my gosh, beautiful conversation again. And so, of course, how can people find you and connect with you online and learn more about what you do, especially with your writings and the work?
Yes. The best way is when I have a podcast called Differently. So you can definitely check out the podcast. And then the other place would just be my website, which is carlareeves.com. And awesome. Everything is there.
Yeah. So all that will be in the show notes below. So be sure to give Carla a follow. And if, again, if this episode resonates, be sure to reach out. This is what we're here for. We're just here to share our hearts and our passion and our works with you. So thank you, Carla, for being here. This has been a beautiful conversation and I'm just blessed to be here.
Oh, thank you, Rachel. Same.
If today's conversation resonated with you and you're ready to step into your most confident self, make sure to grab your free confidence blueprint, the first step to stop chasing, start aligning, and create a life and business you love. Grab yourself a copy by clicking on the link in the show notes below.
Hey there, thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of the Confident Woman Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode as much as I did, please be sure to like, subscribe, and leave us a review. Thanks again for listening.